This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. As we enter this discussion about prayer, my hope is that this will be something really helpful to you, to help you frame or reframe the way you think about praying over these coming 4 weeks and starting with today. We're going to look at the Bible quite a lot, but I'm going to skip between the various verses, so I'll put them up on the screen this time. But if you've got a Bible at hand, I'd recommend that you use it. Over the course of this year, I'll be recommending various books to read about prayer. Here's Timothy Keller's. Tim Keller writes sort of the text on everything these days. He writes books faster than I can read them. Very good, solid background, theological history to prayer. If you like that sort of meaty stuff, you'll find that very good. The first half in particular, I think, is a really good analysis. Second half is very helpful, but I think there's more. And then obviously, Anne's already drawn attention to Waiting on God. Don't forget to pick up your free copy and your free jar of honey. Let's go together. My name's David. I'm married to Alison, and we're the pastors here, some of the pastors here. Before I met Alison, before she rejected me the first time, have you ever asked anybody out on a date? What an experience, eh? Especially as a 15-year-old. Asking somebody, before I met Alison, I asked, there was this girl in our youth group I had a crush on, the sort of crush that I knew about, but she didn't. And it took me a long time to build up courage, but I lined up a movie, a film, and a night in the cinema, and I made the decision to call her and to ask for a date as a 15-year-old. And in those days, this is a long, long time ago, this was before they had cars and supermarkets and things, a long time ago, the only way to arrange a liaison like this was either face-to-face, no chance, or to use an intermediary. But looking around my friends, that was too risky. I wasn't going to do that. Or to telephone the house. Yes, there was a telephone in the house. It stayed in the same place, usually in the hallway. And that posed significant risks. Because if you rang and Dad answered, oh yes, and what do you want with my daughter? Or if snotty little brother answered, oh, she's got a girl boyfriend, oh, she's got... You know, you can imagine the risk of ringing the house. And then there was a double risk, which is there was a phone in my house. And I'm the eldest of five, and there's always lots of people around. What are the chances of a phone in the hallway becoming private enough for me to make that sort of phone call? And so the day came, and I sort of hovered around the hallway, sweating profusely, waiting for the coast to clear. Eventually it did, picked up the phone, rang. You know, we used to use that type of motion to ring the number. Joy of joys, she answered, and I said, I wonder if perhaps, I'm sure I ummed and ahed, but eventually, I wonder if perhaps you might like, you know, do you want to go to the cinema? And she said, sorry, I can't. I've got to do homework. Bye. Deflated is the word. Anyway, she blew it. I got Alison instead. So that was good. Asking for a date is terrifying, isn't it? Those of you who've tried, it's terrifying. And it's a question of who's going to ask first. In those days, it was always the boy who had to ask first. I don't know what happens these days. But it's also other situations where there's a pressure on to respond. There's, like in school, in the classroom, the teacher says, does anybody know the answer to this? And unless you've got Hermione in your class, everybody sits like that. Or when you go to your job interview and you sit down in front of the job interview, it's not usually you that talks first, is it? It's somebody who asks you a question, and then you try to gauge how much to say, how much not to say. And it's, I think prayer is a bit like that, and trying to gauge who speaks first and how much you should say and how much you should not say, and what's the risk of nobody responding. And we're trying to learn the value of waiting. That's what Anne was introducing earlier on. It was marvelous to finish on that song, I'll Wait for You, in that conversation with God, to wait. It's really, really difficult when you're asking for a date. It's really difficult in almost any circumstance. The first scripture I want to look at to help us with this is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's a familiar verse, and it says this. Here I am, this is Jesus speaking, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they were with me. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right. And he gave it to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to come and just take the words, more than the single word, out of my mouth and do something with it to enable us to grow and to learn and to sense your presence and your words in our hearts and minds and lives. Amen. It's an amazing thing to think that we can somehow commune with God, like I just did then. That he might desire to say something to us, that he's knocking on the door. And although prayer is at the heart of the Christian experience, I don't think it's easy. And there's always more to learn. Always. This verse, the picture here is of a Middle Eastern home, of course, not one of ours, where traditionally the door would be the garden gate type door. So it'd be at the end of the pathway, there'd be a wall around the house for security reasons, and there'd be a gate. And so the person who wants to come to your house would knock really loudly on the gate, the door, at the end of at the outside wall, and shout. So you sitting in your room, there wasn't any glass, there might be shutters, but there wasn't glass, would listen. And you'd hear somebody say, this is Jesus, I want to come and have dinner with you. And then you have to choose. Are you going to go and walk down the path and open the door? Great story we heard this week. We heard some amazing things about people coming to faith in really inhospitable climates in the Middle East, places where Christianity is persecuted. And I heard a story about a Muslim lady who had been dreaming about meeting Jesus. And she didn't know who Jesus was. And it's a long story. It's really exciting. But I was just thinking about it today because one time she was on her own and she heard somebody knocking at the door at the end of her pathway. And she, a woman in that society, wouldn't go and answer the door because it might be a man. But eventually she felt compelled and she went and opened the door and this man in white was standing there. And who said, I'm the one you've been dreaming about. It's Jesus. And so she slammed the door in his face and ran back into the house. And it was just a great story about shutting the door on Jesus. It's really exciting what's happening about that. The trouble is I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. But God is on the move, even when it has to be underground. Millions of people coming to faith off the radar. In the Middle East. It's marvelous. Where was I? This verse says it all. Jesus Christ comes to us and asks to come in. And he knocks and he calls and he offers to sit with us and converse with us. How amazing is that? And this is my thesis. That God speaks first. He always speaks first. So prayer is always a response. God has spoken, so prayer is a response. And this verse sets up the balancing postures in prayer. You've got God in Jesus seeking us out, wanting to converse with us, but ironically, waiting. He waits. God is waiting all the time for you. And he wants to converse with you, and he's knocking on the door. And we're inside, and we've got the choice of whether we'll power down the laptop, turn off the TV, put the jigsaw away, get off the phone? Will we stop what we're doing and walk down the path and open the door to our Creator and Redeemer and Savior? How are you going to respond? I could stop there, really. Our response is called prayer. We tend to think about it as talking to God. We don't tend to think about it in the context of Him speaking to us and us replying, responding, and then Him speaking to us again, and then it turns into a conversation. We tend to think about it as pretty monodirectional, don't we? The Danish existential philosopher Søren Kierkegaard thought that prayer was talking until he realized that it was listening. Now, it involves talking, of course. But it's a fascinating thought to think that it starts with listening. Have you heard of Wiki the Killer Whale? Did you hear this on the news? George, are you ready? Listen to this. This was on the news a lot last week.
Hello? 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 Hello?
It's a whale. It's a whale. It's Wiki the Killer Whale. And apparently can talk. Well, can mimic the sounds that a human makes. We knew that birds can do it. And apparently, so can dolphins and elephants and primates. I didn't know that. And now killer whales. And Amy, the girl, the woman who is the trainer, they've recorded her saying short phrases, and the killer whale mimics it. And there's all sorts. There's just a few in that clip, but there's half a dozen other clips that they were playing. I think you'd struggle to work out exactly what the killer whale was saying without the clue. Let's just listen to it again.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Yeah. Sometimes I think Alison thinks it's like that talking to me. I sometimes feel that my prayers are a bit like that, though. I'm mumbling noises to God. That's what it feels like. I've got a limited vocabulary too. Mine goes something like, oh God, oh God, oh God, help, 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 come Holy Spirit. That's about the extent of it. And I sometimes wonder, am I thinking a new thought or am I mimicking something? Am I copying? What am I doing when it comes to my response to the trainer, to my master? And although that distance in intelligence between the trainer and the killer whale is enormous, the difference in intelligence between me and God is just on a completely different scale altogether. So when you think about it, him trying to coax conversation from us, he's keeping it really, really simple for him. But he does, and he comes to us, and he wants to communicate with us, and he's paid an unfathomable cost so that we can know him and understand him. We're not just mimicking sounds, but our hearts and minds are reaching out to him in response to share with our Creator King. Let me just go back to the scriptures and illustrate how it is that he comes to us. If we start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, right at the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So pre-science, pre-everything else, the way the writer was describing it was that there's God and nothing. And God says, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be waters. And God said, let the land produce vegetation. And God said, let there be humankind. God spoke and something happened. God spoke and creation came into being. And if we turn forward to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, "For since the creation of the world," Genesis 1, "God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So the creation that he spoke into being speaks to us of who he is and what he's like. And what was invisible, what was we couldn't hear before, we can now see and hear and witness. But then he goes further in Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. It's all chapters 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets." So he spoke through key people. He spoke through the scriptures, through his love letters, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, this is written just after Jesus, of course, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God has spoken in creation, through scripture, through the prophets, and then ultimately in Jesus. And we see in Jesus the representation of God in human form. It's God's word. He's spoken to us. And then this Jesus who is God, amazingly comes to us and he says, "Here I am. I stand at your door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice, because I'm speaking, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God has spoken first and he's asked us out on a date. And he's taken the risk. And he's waiting for a response. I don't know about you, but I sense in the world around us that there's an element of deep cynicism about faith and religion and Christianity in particular. Maybe you've had conversations where people have blamed you for all the wrong in the world, you representing religion. There is that cynicism out there. It's prevalent. It's in the media, everywhere. However, this prayer thing seems to bypass that, and that most people have an experience of prayer. There's something in us, deep in us, which just connects with God or something that we label God without us really even cognitively choosing to do so. John Calvin, the reformer, described it in, he said, he used the phrase divinitatis sensum, the sense of deity that all human beings have. And all cultures and all people, nearly everybody can identify with prayer. They may not know what it is or how it works or who they're praying to, but it's something we do. And it can be the inarticulate mimicking, like the killer whale, or it can be an appeal to a distant deity, like writing letters to Santa Claus, "Dear Santa," or it can be kneeling in front of an idol, whether that's "I'm a celebrity," or whether it's a Buddha, or whatever the idol takes the form of. When Alice and I were in Cambodia a few years ago, I went into a temple, several temples, to observe, and it'd be a room like this, and there'd be a great big Buddha at the end, a bronze Buddha, and people would be kneeling on the floor, praying and crying out to this bronze Buddha and putting money in the crevices and things. And the Buddha said nothing. Spoke not a word. But the people were still crying out in help and for help and desperation. Or it can be, as hopefully some of you will have experienced, it can be a conversation. It can be something more intimate and more profound. You know, the person you see on the bus going to work every morning, or on at the school gate, or somewhere else, you sort of say hi to. "Hi, how are you doing? Happy Christmas. Nice weather for ducks. So that type of conversation. And then there's other types of conversation which are 999, help, the police, the fire, ambulance. There's the conversation you have with your small group, which to start with is probably a little small talk. But then as you get to know each other, and as you are known and as you know, the conversation goes deeper. Or maybe the conversation you have with your pastor or your counselor or a parent even sometimes, which can be more confessional and private. Or the conversation you have with your spouse if you're married or a long-term friend where you don't actually have to say much at all. You can just sit with each other. And words begin to become unnecessary. Different types of interaction parallel our interaction with God. Is your prayer more like Dear Santa or 999? Or is it more like having a coffee with your best friend? Tim Keller, in that book I've recommended, says this. He says, instinctive prayer is like an emergency flare in reaction to a general sense of God's reality. People are just sort of aware that God's out there, even if they deny his existence. It's sort of wired into them. And the instinctive prayer is the emergency flare, the 999 call. He said, but prayer as a spiritual gift, is how he describes it, is a genuine personal conversation in reply to God's specific verbal revelation. Prayer as a spiritual gift is a genuine personal conversation. And the difference between Christianity and following Jesus and every other religion on the face of the planet is that God speaks first. Our first word is always a reply. It's always a response. The very breath of our voice and the words of our mind were given to us by God. We sang that song. The breath that you give is how I sing. The very notion that divine ears may hear us, the idea, the nudge came from the Creator himself. So the question is this, when the great suitor calls us for a date, how are you going to respond? Will we reply? Will you say yes or no? I'm coming to the end now. You may never have tried to pray. You'll be sitting here thinking, this is a new thing for me. I never thought of that in any shape or form. Or you may have only ever sent up distress flares, 999 calls. Maybe you're a chatterbox prayer. Talk a lot. Always talking, never listening. Or maybe you already pray with intimacy and with listening. But you know you want more. You know you want to change. That's what happens, isn't it, when you marry somebody. If you start at that level of intimacy, and over time it gets deeper. That's what should happen in our relationship with Jesus. So if you've been trundling along with your conversation with Jesus and it's been okay for some years, it's time it went deeper. We're offered a deep relationship with God, to know him and to be known by him. It's a spiritual gift. It's such an amazing idea that God, through Jesus, comes to knock on our door and ask to come in. It's an honor that he trusts us enough to grant us the presence of his Holy Spirit so that we can pray and meet with him anytime, all the time. Let me wind up. Prayer is always a response because God has spoken first. Even when we start to talk to God without thinking, we only do so because he's given us the breath and the brain to do so. We only do so because he has planted in us in the desire to know him. So, open the door, then be still and wait and listen. and then bring him your praise and your thanks and your petitions. Prayer starts with waiting, waiting on God, waiting to be reminded of what he has said and done, waiting to hear his voice afresh today. Don't take this lightly. The creator of the universe, the one in whom you live and move and have your being, knocks at the door and asks to speak with you. He's waiting for you. What's your response? I'd like to stand. I just want to pray for anybody here who's this idea of Jesus knocking at the door and waiting for it to be opened is new to you, and you've never done that knowingly. And I'm going to invite you to make this the day when you do that and you open the door to him. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. This is your opportunity to surrender unconditionally to his love. So Lord Jesus, I hear you knocking. And I hear your voice. And I'm so, I don't really understand why you would do this for me. Why you died for me so that I could be forgiven. Why you've come to me and why you wait. And I haven't got all my thoughts in order, but I do know I want to surrender to your love unconditionally. And so I say sorry for all the things that come between you and me. And I open that door and invite you in. Let him come in. Something happened in the room then when I prayed that prayer. And for somebody, that's been a momentous moment in your life, and I bless it. And the angels celebrate, and your life has changed forever. And I bless you. In Jesus' name, come and tell me about it. And now, Lord, we all come to you wanting to pursue more of a relationship with you. We open our ears to hear you. Well, you've already spoken. Help us to hear more. And Lord, would you go deeper, push us further, challenge us more. May we be more and more vulnerable with you, more and more open to you as you speak of your love for us and your forgiveness for us. So wherever you are on that scale, if you like, I'm just praying right now that you will move a whole chunk further on. Lord, would you come and do this now in the lives of the people here? Would you show them what to say, what not to say, how to make that change, how to go deeper with you? Would you come right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's it. Bless what you're doing. I bless what you're doing.
Thank you for everything that you do for me and help me each day. You know all the health problems.